You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Nathan!
Hey, Katie.
Hi, everybody. So we are taking this week off because life. Am I right, Nathan? Life.
Uh-huh.
But while we were gone, we thought we would rerun some old episodes for you. And since we just talked about Princess Nest, who was a royal mistress. Nathan, who was our very first mistress to ever cover on this show back in, what, 2018?
It was the notorious DDP.
Diane de Poitiers.
So we really hope you guys enjoy these next few episodes.
Oh, and if you're new here, we say fuck a lot. Nathan makes some dick jokes. But if that's not your thing, you're not going to enjoy any part of this. So, Nathan, cheers, bitches.
Cheers.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey, Katie.
We were just prefacing this with how we need to find more interesting ways to start the show, because it's always just, hey, Nathan.
Hey, Katie.
And then I was like, you know what? Let's just go with it, and whatever comes to us happens. And it was, hey, Nathan.
So today we are talking about the notorious DDP.
Diane de Poitiers.
She was
the notorious DDP. That's genius.
Yeah, that just came to me.
I love it. Just came to you.
I know I'm a genius.
So she is famous for being the scandalous and much older mistress of King Henry II of France.
She was a total cougar.
Yeah.
And so today we're drinking golden elixir, which she had this huge beauty regimen. She was always touting her beauty regimens and things like that.
And it sounds like she drank some gold.
And she drank some gold. And spoiler alert, she died. And so we're toasting to the golden elixir, which is lemon, water, honey, cayenne, ginger, vodka.
Vodka.
So it's basically like one of your, you know, the detox drinks.
It looks like orange juice. Like, it looks like it's a mimosa, but then you drink
it
and you're like,
it is
not a mimosa. No, it is spicy. I wasn't expecting to like it because I don't really like cayenne pepper, but this is nice.
Delicious. I also, you know, because I'm extra, I decided to put some passion fruit in it. You know, get a little fruitiness because Nathan the fruit.
Nathan, you getting a little fruity?
Yeah, a little fruity for that booty.
A little fruity for that booty. Diane de Poitiers, a little fruity for that booty. So anyway, back to Diane.
Some people say she was born New Year's Eve on 1499, so like right there on the cusp of being in the 1500s.
Some say that she was born in like January 9th, 1500, and some say September 1499. So we don't know, but somewhere around 1499, 1500.
So she was born into nobility. She had a little bit of a silver spoon in her mouth, so.
Yeah. Her father was Jean de Poitiers, and he was lord and commander of the military and like a distant cousin of the royal family.
Really into hunting.
Yeah.
Like super into hunting.
And yeah, their whole family was. Like they could just hunt all day.
They loved it.
Like, and her mother's name was Jean as well. So that's fucking confusing. Her family had been in good graces with the royal family for a couple of generations. Yeah. So either way, she is set on the right path for life.
So they named her Diane after the Roman goddess of hunting.
Yeah, and also the moon.
And the moon. That's where her name is, Diane, Diana.
Yeah.
There you go.
When she was six, her mom died. We don't really know much about their relationship.
No, just very just short-lived.
Yeah, Diane was sent off for her education, which whenever we look at it through our modern eyes, we're like, well, that's sad that she had to be sent away from home. But at the time, that was what you did.
Customary, yeah.
Yeah, you wanted to send her off to go get the best schooling possible. So that meant she had to go somewhere else. So she went to live with this duchess, the Duchess of Bourbon. His name was Anne, and she was like a really powerful woman.
She was like the like 5 billionth or 11th.
Yeah. King Louis the 5 billionth, that was his sister. And
so education, yeah, education.
It was like her thing. If you could afford to send your daughters to go get educated by the Duchess of Bourbon, that's where you sent them.
Yeah, and I feel like the French are very into educating their women.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Renaissance. Oh. And the Renaissance in England and France and Italy and stuff like all those places that were, like, really forward-thinking for the time, they were educating their women mm-hmm. like they were educating their sons. Even though with women, though, there still was some more focus on dancing and playing the piano
and stuff like that. Duchess Anne oversaw her education.
Oversaw
her education. And so her education would have consisted of political stuff, mm-hmm. courtly manners.
I loved this, in quotation marks, new manners, which basically meant, like, if you gotta wipe your nose, use a piece of fabric meant for wiping your nose, not just your hands, and then wiping it on your dress. Like, that the new manners.
Oh, and she would have also been taught languages like Latin and Greek. She knew those, like, at 7 and 9 or something like that, where she's super young and she's already, like, fluent in three languages.
She, during this time, learned to detest gossip, which is really funny given her future life and how much gossip would go on about her. But she was just like, I just don't have time for that shit. I need to learn my languages and I need to go hunting. I don't care who's sleeping with who.
Of course, she loved to go hunting.
She loved hunting. Like, she was very, very athletic for a woman at the time. Upper classes, the women did go hunting with the men, but, like, she would just go riding for fun. And she would go swimming, and she would play tennis and stuff like that. Whereas, like, most women just stopped at riding because the men were going riding. You know, like, she was just athletic, and she enjoyed it.
So, she was beautiful.
Yeah.
Hands down.
She was gorgeous.
Everybody
the description we have at her, about her, like, at this young age, like, 13, 14, something like that, is that she had porcelain skin, chestnut-colored hair, brown eyes that were shaped like almonds, and she was smoking fucking hot.
Get it, girl? Mm. So she's young, she's rich, she's well-read, she's beautiful, she loves sports. So, I mean,
grade A marriage material.
This is like any dude is like chomping at the bit to get her.
Mm-hmm.
And at age 15, she's married off to a dude that's like 40 years older than her. He was 56.
His name was Louis de Breeze, and he was governor of Normandy, and we've decided to call him Easy Breezy.
Easy Breezy, beautiful cover girl.
Easy Breezy, beautiful old ass man.
Okay, grandpa, yeah.
So a little bit about Easy Breezy. He was the descendant of a French king through an illegitimate line. His grandmother was this woman named Agnes Sorel.
I'm sure we're going to talk about
I'm
her.
I'm sure
one day.
We'll
she
do her
like,
own episode.
She was
one
like
day.
The first.
Yeah, she was the first official mistress.
French
I mean, obviously
mistress.
Not the first mistress
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, but like they officially
but
named
like,
her.
This
know,
is your place at court.
This is your
yeah.
title.
Yeah, that was his grandmother.
Your title of hoe for show.
his official title was Grand Seneschal of Normandy, and he was also head hunter of France. So,
that is like his, I mean, he got a good wife for him.
Yeah, yeah. And he was super
but she was
tight.
Like 15.
Yeah. I know. He was super tight with the current king, Francis I. So King Frank and his queen, Claude, would come over to the Breezy residence, which was this place called Annette, and go hunting all the time. So it wasn't a love match, but it really seemed like Easy Breezy and Diane.
They got along.
She was devoted to him. And I mean, it's probably not the husband she would have picked, but this day and age, husbands can, like, just treat their wives like shit and there'd be no consequences. And from all evidence, it appears he was super good to her.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that's, like, nothing to write home about now, but back then, score.
Right? So, like, any other woman that we've talked about, it's time to make babies. That is your job.
Baby
in
making
Renaissance time.
Baby making time. In every baby. Time in history.
Yeah.
So she has two daughters with Easy Breezy, Francois and Louise. She had the first one when she was 18 and the second one when she was 21. And they were both born at the Chateau de Annette, which is like the de Breeze ancestral home. Like the
Easy Breezy's home.
Easy Breezy house. Breezy house. Chateau Breezy.
So when she was about 18, she became a royal lady-in-waiting.
Which is score.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
And she was a lady-in-waiting to Claude, the
queen
of France.
Frank's queen, yeah. Claude was supposedly like a really sweet lady, so people...
Super popular.
Yeah, she was present when Queen Claude gave birth to her second son, Henry, which is a little gross the further we get into this story.
Yeah, it gets a little creep.
While she was lady-in-waiting to Queen Claude, she was in charge of teaching all the royal children their courtly manners.
So when Queen Claude died, which was super sad because, like we said, everybody loved her. She was, like, the most popular woman, and she's a sweetheart.
And she died. She was, like, only, like, 24 when she died.
Yeah.
Super sad.
Super young. So then she became a lady-in-waiting to the king's mother and...
France is at war with Spain. Francis the First. So King Frank was real into getting his hands on some of Italy. Like, he thought, or that France should own part of Italy.
So, long story short, Spain, Italy, France, fight.
Fight. It's not going great. So, what does that have to do with Diane?
Her dad did some really dumb shit.
Yeah, so
her dad... And he knew some people that did some extremely dumb shit.
Yeah, so it's complicated, so we'll just give the cliff notes. Diane's dad tried to help construct a plan to have part of France break off and go under the rule of the Holy Roman Emperor.
Yeah, and so Easy Breezy found out and totally ratted him out.
Yeah, Easy Breezy was like, no, not in my house.
So in 1524, her dad is convicted of treason and sentenced to be beheaded, which is no big deal.
Yeah. February 17th, 1524, Jean de Poitiers was led to the execution block where his head sat for one full hour before the king sent a pardon and converted his sentence to life in prison. One full hour with your head on the execution block.
Dramatic much?
I know. I kind of love King Frank for that, for just being like, oh, I'm going to send a pardon, but make him sit there for an hour. But can you imagine? What do you think was going through his head with...
Just kill me already is just probably
like,
what
just like,
is.
So are we doing this or not? Because I'm starting to get a crick in my neck. Or do you think he was just bawling uncontrollably?
I would be bawling.
Yeah, I would just be like snot running down the execution block. Like, what's happening?
So Diane had to literally plead for her father's life. And then there was a rumor that she had to sleep with the king.
Because she did, day before the execution was supposed to take place, Diane went to plead for her dad's life. The king being like, look, he didn't come up with this plan. He just had bad advisors, whatever. So then the king pardoned him. So yeah, the rumor was she slept with him. I don't think... she slept with him, because if you were a king and you were out for vengeance for somebody that you felt like was a real traitor, would sleeping with somebody change your mind?
No.
Especially when you're the king of France and you could have any woman you want.
Right.
Would that really change your mind? I think he was going to pardon him anyway.
Yeah, from what I read and what I gathered was that he wasn't as, like, involved in the crimes as much, like, as the other people who had... playing the rebellion. It wasn't even, to me, I don't think she did it. Could a nip slip happen? You know?
Could she have been like, hey, pardon my dad. Oh no, how did my boob fall out? Let me put that back in there.
So, I mean, maybe there was a nip slip wardrobe malfunction.
Anyway, so that happened, but it didn't hurt Diane's position at court, probably because her husband was the one that tattled anyway.
Yeah.
In 1526, King Frank was taken captive by the Holy Roman Emperor. And if you go back to our Catherine de' Medici episode, which we're going to reference a lot in this episode, you will learn that we don't really completely understand what the Holy Roman Emperor is.
No, it's kind
of confusing. In that episode, we decided that it was a state of mind. Anyways, Frank is taken hostage. And to get his own release, he agrees to be, like, swapped out for his sons, which is, you know, fucked up.
To say the least.
Because his sons are little boys. Francis is 8 and Henry is 6 or 7. I mean, what kind of parent does that?
That's crazy.
They were hostage for 4 years in Spain in, like, varying states of captivity. Like, when they first became hostage, they were kept in a palace.
Yeah.
But then after they didn't receive their ransom money, they were then moved to, like, a not-so-nice palace. And then after they didn't receive more of their ransom money, they were moved to a fucking dungeon.
A shithole.
And they're children.
Yeah, we're talking, like, kids 8, 7, you know, babies. Kids. Diane, remember back, she was teaching them courtly
manners.
She was,
like, their governess at this time. So when they went to get sent off, their mom's dead. So Diane walks the boys out to their ship along with their father to, like, bid them goodbye. Henry just, like, fell into Diane's arms and, like, gave her a big kiss on the cheek. And the whole time he was over there, he was just thinking about her. That is what a real woman is.
I wonder if some of this had to do with him losing his mother at a young age.
I'm sure. And also...
She was around that age, too.
And I've read that... I mean, they come back from this 4 years later, and Henry is not a happy child anymore. He's not the sweet little boy that was sent off or anything. He feels like everybody in his life that he's loved has betrayed him or died. His mother died. His father sent him to prison.
Yeah.
And so he came back like this real sad, melancholy boy, but he'd always had Diane in his head as like, what a nice person. Yeah. Somebody that was nice to me.
The ideal woman.
And then they come back and she continues teaching him and everything. And teaching them courtly manners and stuff. And he's just like, yes, that's what a woman should be like. To end the war with France and Spain, the king, King Frank, has to marry this woman, Eleanor, I think, of Castile. I've read her both being Eleanor of Castile and Eleanor of Austria. So I guess she's from all over the place.
Just pick your poison.
she's from all over the place. So they had, you know, jousting in celebration of that. It was customary for when the princes came out to salute the queen at the joust, and instead he saluted Diane.
He wanted her nuts.
He was like 12, so let's... I don't know. I'm gonna get a refill.
So Diane sadly loses Easy Breezy in 1531, so Easy Breezy dies. She returned and retired from the court, you know, because she wanted to mourn her husband's death.
Well, that was customary.
Yes, and
that's
what you did.
To retire for 2 years.
Also, what you did was you wore black.
Yeah.
And so what
I think you were supposed to wear black for 1 year.
Yeah.
But she just went, this is what I wear now, and wore black and white for the rest of her life.
Yeah, so she picked up the black and white. She's the chick that made that a huge fashion
statement. Well, I guess she just liked, I'm a widow now, so I wear black. But also the black and white symbolizes the two sides of the moon. Mm-hmm. And she's Diana, the moon goddess, you know, all that. So,
and part of me always thinks, like, it's mourning and purity.
What a fucking fashion icon.
I know, right?
All these other French bitches are just like, no, I'm just wearing it because it's so popular right now. And she's like, it's of the duality of man and the dark side and the light side of the moon. She's deep. Read some philosophy. You basic.
So Easy Breezy left her pretty fucking wealthy.
A rich bitch!
Yeah, she was really rich. In the lands of Annette, or Annay.
Is it Annay? I guess it would be. Because the T is silent in French.
Just, if you're doing your own research, it's A-N-E-T, like Annette.
Yeah. Right? So, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. I'm sorry I said it wrong.
But Easy Breezy left those lands to her when he died. Because he had no sons, right? Well, while she was away from court, the king's mistress, Anne de Pisseleu, she started to spread these crazy ass rumors.
And a pissy pants.
And she spread all these crazy rumors about Diane.
Well, she had heard about.
She hated her.
And, like, she had heard about, like, oh, this woman that's going to be coming back after her time of mourning is over, like, may have slept with the king and also is, like, the hottest person any of us have ever met in our lives.
She's totally just jealous.
So, Anne de Pissy Pants was just like, mm-mm. No.
They disagreed on everything. Politics, religion. She was Protestant. And
so you couldn't be outwardly Protestant in France at this time. But so the king's sister, who I'm sorry, I think her name was Margaret, but it was the 1500s. So like one in three people's name were Margaret. So I'm not sure. But anyway, the king's sister was interested in learning about Protestantism. There we go.
That was difficult.
There we go. Lutheranism is what I'm going to say. Or Calvinism or something. She was really interested in learning about that. So while King Frank was around, you still couldn't just be Protestant. You weren't going to get burnt at the stake for reading about it. Anne de Pissy Pants was Protestant, like, adjacent. And Diane was...
Hardcore Catholic.
No. Heresy. Burn her at the stake. Yeah.
Hardcore Catholic. When Diane was poised to return after a mourning, Anne was just ready to, like, scare... Booga, 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 booga.
Scare away.
Get the hell out of my court.
Diane returns, and King Frank, like, arranges, like, this big to-do. His old riding buddy's back. And not in that way. Not that kind of way. As soon as I said it.
If y'all want it, let's do it. Riding my pony.
That's not what I meant. His old hunting buddy was back. How about that?
I like that. What are they hunting? Menzeses.
Oh my god, Nathan.
So she picked up her old job of helping with the education of the children, teaching them all their things, courtly manners.
Anne, bitch Anne, was just like... spreading these
really
nasty
don't like
rumors.
Anne.
She was so nasty to
and
her.
And pissy pants.
And the pissy pants. And which makes me so mad is she would like commission. I've only read this like one source, so I don't even know if it got this catty, but I believe it. She commissioned poets and stuff to write these poems about like this old decrepit woman.
Yeah, I read that too.
And it's like, and it was obviously supposed to be about Diane.
Her, yeah.
Bitch, she was 31.
She was not old and decrepit. She was the most gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
In France.
So she was like trying to make fun of how old she was, even though she was so beautiful. And it's like,
and Anne, how old are you, Anne de Pissy Pants?
Anne was like, I think 8 years younger than her.
Ooh.
Like, anyway, like you mentioned whenever we were chatting about this beforehand, Diane was kind of one of the guys, like going out riding.
Yeah, she was
going,
like total. Bro,
going and
like,
playing tennis,
yeah,
and swimming and stuff
and
like
that. And
that
was not common. I mean, I'm sure there were women that did that back then, but it wasn't very common for a mistress to be going hunting with the king.
And well, she wasn't his mistress.
Not yet.
Yeah.
No, not Francis. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that would be a really good way to become a mistress.
So why was she so jealous? So everything I read talks about how she's still so hot when she's so old. Oh my God. She's not that old. Diane, she said that the reason her skin stayed so, like, young and beautiful is because she took cold baths every day.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking like, oh, this is a little chilly. Like, she would go swim in the lake in winter. Like, cold.
Cold. And wasn't it like she took, like, a cold shower, not shower, but bath or whatever, got into the river, and then she'd go back home. And she'd, like, read a book and sit
and, like,
in bed,
sleep and...
go back to nap, and then she'd eat, like, a little snack.
So, surprise, lots of sleep is good for your skin. No, but when I first read this, I was like, I tried to take a cold shower. I was like, I'm going to try cold showers this week. No, that lasted all of 20 seconds.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
No.
Thank you.
No, I will get some Botox.
Oh, my gosh. She was really into the beauty regimen. What I was reading, like, she would eat small little meals throughout the day. She never, like, ate a big meal or anything.
Unless it was, like, a feast day. Also, she stayed super active until the last, like, couple of years of her life. And so now we know that getting exercise, swimming, you know, stuff like that is good for your health, thus good for your looks.
And she actually became the role model for the Renaissance's 9 Laws of Beauty, which, okay, I researched this. And I only found 8 laws.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 8. Yeah. We don't want to go through them all because
they're pretty shallow.
It's just so stupid. And also because I would not be considered beautiful by these standards.
No,
it says,
because like
it says three things. It's like three things small: the breast, the nose, the head.
Katie
at the breast,
sucked.
I'm out.
Yeah. Three things big: the arms, the thigh, the calf. Katie, you're out.
I got some chunky thighs. I got some thick thighs. I do squats. three things black: the eyes, the brows, the lashes.
Yeah.
Why are the brows black?
I don't know.
What if you're blonde? Are your brows still supposed to be black?
I guess
I don't know.
So.
Either way, she
layer
was,
on the mascara.
It goes on your eyebrows? Mascara on your eyebrows?
Katie.
I don't know. So anyway, three things long: the body, the hair, the hands. Yeah.
So it just basically lists three things white, three things black, three things red. Like, it just lists these things that you're supposed to have. And it was apparently modeled.
And it was supposed, yeah, it was supposedly.
They liked their girls with a, let's just say they liked a pear-shaped girl.
Yeah.
Like, they wanted a thicker butt. Thicker thighs, but a small boobies.
Small and tall and everything, and long, and with black eyebrows, apparently.
And how do you have black eyes, too?
I don't know. Well, Mistress Anne decided that she's so super fucking ancient, and she's still so beautiful, and she also got her dad off from treason, so she must be guilty of witchcraft.
She's a witch!
Burner! She turned me into a newt!
Oh.
I
feel like this is deja vu. Like,
yeah. You know what? You don't fuck around with...
Oh, hell no.
...being accused of witchcraft. So Diane was like, hey,
she's
maybe,
scared.
Maybe I go home now.
Yeah,
maybe
she's scared
I don't work
spot.
At the court anymore.
Because witchcraft was something you get burned alive.
Yeah.
Like, no questions asked. You may not even get a trial.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You literally won't even get a trial. They just send you straight to the chopping block and burn you alive.
So Diane was like, well, this was fun, but I better be hitting the dusty road. But then who comes to her defense is the young Prince Henry.
Henry love Diane.
Well, yeah, ever since he was a little boy, he was just like, she is the model of beauty. She is the model of, like, courtly manners. I think he's got some mommy issues with her because his mom died and she was his governess. But he found out Anne was, like, slinging this trash about Diane and stood up to her. And it worked. Henry would have been about 14 at this time, but I think that Anne was at least smart enough to realize, oh, maybe I don't get the princes mad at me. So she backed off a little. And also a lot of people already loved Diane because she was like sweet and fun.
Yeah.
And beautiful. Good natured. And yeah. She continues to be the young prince's friend and mentor. In 1533, Henry is made to marry Catherine de' Medici. And maybe you've heard of her.
Maybe we...
Henry and Catherine were married in 1533, and they were both 14. It was not a love match.
Yeah, remember poor how little Catherine was not the looker.
She was not pretty. She was not super charming.
But so here you have Henry, who's been looking up to this beautiful, goddess. Gorgeous goddess of Diane.
And then he gets
who's like one of the guys and like chills.
And he gets this small little woman that doesn't really speak any French.
And the only reason that they're together is for politics, power, money.
Like, as we mentioned, his dad had a big hard-on for Italy.
Yeah, and Catherine of Medici was like from the wealthiest family in Italy.
Well, she was the Pope's niece at the time.
She was the Iron Bank.
She was the Iron Bank. We make a lot of Game of Thrones references. I really think Henry resented having to marry Catherine.
Oh, yeah, he did. He just felt forced. Here he had spent how long, like, in captivity? And he comes out of captivity and he's forced to marry this chick that he doesn't really want to.
And
like,
Diane...
he feels like a slave.
Yeah, absolutely. Diane encouraged it. I think a lot of that was because, well, one, you have to, like, she believed in, like, country over self.
Yeah.
And then, two, she was such a hardcore Catholic, and this is the Pope's niece, you know? Yeah. She, like, encouraged it and was like, no, you'll learn to love her. It'll be fine. I mean, even after Diane was like, go, do it, he was still like, oh, I don't wanna.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. I mean, I can definitely sympathize with him.
Yeah. So, anyway, so he's, like, 14 when they get married, and then... A couple years there are hazy, but sometime between 1534 and 1535, Henry and Diane's relationship becomes romantic.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Brown chicken, brown cow. He's 16 and she's 35. I wish so bad I could say he's 18.
He's almost there.
I feel like that's why there's not a whole lot of movies about, because like it's such like a beautiful love story.
Let's face this. She was, what, 15 and she married a 56-year-old man?
No, absolutely. Like, no, it's a...
So this is not, for her,
it's a doublement standard. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's like, this is a double standard. I can fuck this 16-year-old. It's gross. But because you were there whenever he was born. Like, that's a little weird. Like,
oh, but people thought this was weird at the time, too.
That noise you just made.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a scandal. This is fucking scandalous.
I mean, people then thought it was weird, too, because, yeah, you always saw it the other way around. You didn't see it with a much older woman, with a younger man.
Yeah, it wasn't common
for love. Like, I'm sure there were still, like, some marriages that happened for, like, stately reasons where the woman was older than the man. But for love, for your mistress?
Yeah, for her to be that much older?
It
that's
was
weird.
Not normal.
I mean, the age of consent in the Renaissance time is fucking gross anyway.
Yeah, when it was 12.
Oh, God. God.
Oh, well, there wasn't really so much age of consent as, like, this is when you can legally marry your daughter off. Have fun.
Oh, my gosh. It's so weird.
Anyway, I really do think, though, it was more than just physical.
Yeah, he had issues.
He had some mommy issues. And also, I really do think he kind of felt alone in the world. Like you said, he had been in this prison. And then he came back and he had to marry this woman that he
doesn't really know.
He doesn't have anything in common with. Hardly speaks the same language as.
Oh, obviously you're using me. He felt used.
I really do think the one, and this is heartbreaking to me, the one consistent thing throughout his entire life is that Diane de Poitiers was always nice to him.
And she was always there for him.
Yeah, and he can't say that about anybody else. So I think it really was like a deep emotional bond.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
So,
poor Catherine.
Yeah, she was fucked.
Yeah.
When the affair started, the French were starting to, you know, question, was this really a good match? Was this, you know, Henry doesn't seem happy. Catherine doesn't seem happy. There's no babies.
They didn't have babies for like 9 years.
Yeah.
But Diane would make sure that Henry would include Catherine in the state affairs. Because like whenever he had to go to dinners or something, he wanted Diane sitting by him. And so Diane was the one to be like, no, like your wife should really be sitting next to you.
See, I can really admire her for that.
Yeah.
Like she, I don't want to say this is a negative thing, but she knew her place.
Oh, like, I don't think that's a negative thing at all.
Like she knew what he was supposed to do, what she was supposed to do, and you know, you're supposed to sit with your queen.
Yeah.
You're not supposed
to sit with your queen. He wasn't even
Sorry.
We'll get
spoiler
to
spoiler alert.
He wasn't, because he was the second son, remember? He had an older brother.
He had an older brother.
So that brings us to, in 1536, Henry's older brother Francis died. Like, he was playing tennis, and then he drank too much cold water afterwards and collapsed and died.
Sounds like a heart thing to me.
They think he may have had tuberculosis, like modern medicine, but I don't understand.
Some people thought he was actually poisoned.
Yeah. That was
because he drank the water
for
and died.
A couple of years,
so,
but
I mean,
then
it
was.
I mean, I would make the connection too.
Yeah, but yeah. So now Henry is so the heir apparent in France is called the Dauphin.
Dauphin. Guess what, motherfucker? You're the Dauphin now.
And I do not think he was too into this development. I don't think he wanted to be king.
No, he didn't. He didn't have the gusto to be.
He didn't have the gusto. So like. A long time passes between him becoming the Dauphin and becoming king.
I love how you get all bougie.
Dauphin. So here's some things that happen. In 1538, Henry has an illegitimate daughter with some chick, and he names her Diane.
So obviously there were rumors that it was actually Diane's baby, but I really don't think that happened.
I don't know. I read some really compelling theories about...
look at you sounding all smart.
I know. The reason that in the end, I don't think it was Diane's baby, and I think he just named her Diane because, you know, like in Forrest Gump, when he names the boat Jenny because it's the most beautiful name he's ever heard. So he's like, Diane. I named her the most beautiful name that I knew.
You do a really good impression.
I know. I do a really good Forrest Gump. But anyway... So, what was I saying? Because I read so many theories about why it was Diane's baby. But, like, at the end of the day, why, if they loved each other so much and she was already the royal mistress, why would she pretend the baby wasn't hers if it
was? Yeah, she's already got the standing in court. That's not a big secret. That she's the mistress, because this is France where they like literally give you a title.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Catherine finally gets pregnant after fucking years of trying. It was actually really sad. Like, reading of all the things that they had to go through.
Yeah.
And was it him that had the ding-dong problem?
So, I don't really fully understand. We had this conversation in the Catherine de' Medici episode.
It was
like it flowed out in a weird way to where, like, he had to be doing in a certain position to get her pregnant.
Yeah.
So, I guess they, like, finally figured out what that position was.
And Diane was like, hey, you need to do it doggy style instead of missionary. So, you know, something like that.
That's in the history books now. But no, so she finally becomes pregnant, so yay. Oh my gosh.
I mean, they weren't friends.
No.
And
you mean Diane and Catherine?
Yeah, Diane and Catherine.
They were never friendly, but they did kind of eventually come to an agreement where it's like, Henry would come to It's so fucking weird. Henry would come to Diane's room and Diane would like fool around with him and get him all riled up. And then whenever he was like about to make his baby juice come out,
I'm sorry.
Be professional, please. If you could keep it together, that would be great.
I can't.
So then, at like the very last minute, she would send him off to Catherine, or he'd like finish with her, and then come back and spend the night with
Diane. I think there was like a letter of something of how it was said, and it said he would Diane would lay with the king, and then instruct him to quote unquote lay with Catherine, and then come back and lay with Diane again. So just insert the word boned.
Lots of laying.
So she was pretty much the one getting him horny.
Yeah.
And
so normal. This is completely normal. But, I mean, Diane wasn't stressing. And she knew she was never going to be able to be queen anyway. So he may as well be having these babies with this woman he doesn't love, you know, and then coming back to her afterwards.
So in 1547... the king of France, Francis, he dies.
Yeah, on Henry's 28th birthday.
So he's pretty young.
Yeah. Henry is king at 28, and Diane is now the official royal mistress at age 47.
Wow, cougar.
Yeah. At his coronation, Henry had to wear the royal doublet with, like, the colors of France, so, like, red and blue. But he had all his like, posse, all his guards, everybody wore black and white. And he had this symbol, which it's these three crescent moons. It's actually like an old pagan symbol, I think, but he adopted it. And it's these three crescent moons all intertwined. And it's supposed to, I mean, moons, Diane. And so all his guards wore that. And he also had come up with this symbol that's, it looks like two D's combined, like backwards,
mm-hmm.
but then in the middle there's an H.
So,
and he wore that on his doublet.
The best way to describe it is like one D is just like a
regular
regular D.
It's just that regular old D.
Get that regular D.
You just get that regular D.
And then you have a regular D reflected on the other side. And so your
in the
D's,
middle,
your two D's.
Your double D's. And in the middle, they make an H.
Yeah, they put a line in between.
Yeah, so
to break up the double D.
To break up those D's, man. So all his guards are wearing black and white, have the crescent moons on it, which is a symbol for Diane.
And he wore black and white every day.
Yeah, after the, I mean, he had to wear the blue and red to symbolize France and on his coronation day. But yeah, for the rest of his reign, he wore black and white every day, too.
Yeah, and she was also given another title.
Yeah.
The Duchess de Valentinois.
Ooh. That sounds fancy.
Valentinois.
So Diane is now the most powerful woman in the country.
I even read that he would sign official court documents, Henry Diane.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
Like,
or she
what?
Would sign it. Or he would just be like, oh,
how
I'm too busy.
How pissed off would
Can
you be
you
if you're
that?
Catherine de' Medici?
I know.
Like, you would be pissed. You're like, bitch, you are signing her name? Henry gave her all the jewels. All the crown jewels.
Oh, my, the family jewels. But no, again, poor Catherine. He gave his mistress all the crown jewels. The queen's supposed to have the crown jewels.
She's like, bitch, fuck you. Mm. Like, what?
Mm.
So, the Pope actually did send his, wait, what was his
so,
niece?
So, that Pope is no longer.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. Yeah, Pope. The Pope uncle's dead, and so it's a new pope. I kind of went down a rabbit hole about this. There's this thing called, like, the Golden Rose, I think.
It's like a Catholic award.
Yeah, it's a Catholic award, basically, yeah. He sends it to, like, Catholics doing a good job. Catherine of Medici was one of the first women to actually get the Golden Rose.
Double clap.
So he sends that over to her for Henry's coronation. But then he knows, like, shit, I got to do something for this mistress, too. So the Pope sends the royal mistress a gift of, like, some fancy-ass pearls. But that was not normal.
No.
That's just how powerful she was.
Yeah.
He was like, the Pope was like, ooh, can't offend
Mind
her.
You, like, her whole entire beginning of her life was spent studying politics and court.
Yeah.
And matters of that.
She, so was, she just was a smart
She
lady.
Was a smart witch. She's a witch.
She's a witch. Burn her. She uses her position to get her daughter some really great marriages. I mean, neither of her daughters go down in history for being that noteworthy, but
her daughter Francois actually ends up being Kathy Medici's lady-in-waiting.
They were tight. Kathy and Luis were tight.
What does that say about Diane? To me, it's like she can rise above the fact that, oh, I'm the mistress.
What does that say about Luis? She must have been really cool.
Yeah. And around this time, guess who comes to live at the court?
Mary, Queen of Scots.
So Diane had this really nice chateau. And it was time to pimp it, bitch.
Yeah, so the Chateau d'Anet, is that how you say it would be? I've been saying Annette.
Annet.
Okay, so...
A-N-E-T.
Yeah.
Google it.
Annet. That sounds right. Anyway, so, yeah, it was old-ass chateau. And, yeah, it was time to pimp it out.
But, I mean, it was like...
Do Google it. Look at it now. It's where it is, stunning.
Yeah,
it's
where
beautiful.
It's located, it is just absolutely perfect. There, I would be... Happy as a clam at high tide.
Happy as a clam at high tide?
Yeah, you've never heard that?
I've never heard that. What is it? Are clams...
Clams eat.
At high tide?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Silence.
Anyway, so all over this newly remodeled chateau, there's all kinds of symbols of their love.
Yeah, I remember the double Ds.
There's the double DH thing. There's the three moons everywhere. All... over this chateau is symbols of Diana, the goddess, the huntress, the moons. And Diane even posed for this one sculpture, and it's now in the Louvre. And it's her and two of her dogs, and she's got, like, a bow and arrow, and she's naked, and there's, like, a stag there.
Looking fierce.
Shit, she's supposed to be in her 50s. If that's how she looked naked in her 50s, no wonder the king was into her. Like,
right?
Hello?
Slamming.
What do they do in the cartoons? They're like, hello?
Ahooga. So anyway, she was kind of the royal scapegoat.
Yeah. So Henry did some pretty nasty prosecuting of the Protestants. Like, his dad was a little okay with people that were Protestant curious. He was not there for that shit.
Not having it.
He was not there for it. During his reign, I think I read that he had, like, in the first 3 years, 38 Protestants burned at the stake. Also, Henry started a lot of wars with other countries, got, you know, reopened up those wars with Spain.
Which puts your country in enormous debt.
Yeah.
You have no money.
And so, of course, Diane is blamed for it, because you can't straight up blame the king. And she was, like, his closest advisor. So
she's a witch.
Well, so all the people in the country are being like, oh, she's making him spend all this money on these chateaus and shit. That's why we're all poor. And I mean, I don't know if she had any influence on the wars and stuff. Like, she definitely would have advised him, but I don't think that she would have been, like, a strong person of interest there. But she was super Catholic, so I can't say that she didn't have something to do with, like, those heretics getting burned, you know?
Yeah.
Quote-unquote heretics. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and speaking of those 37 people that were burned at the stake, were all of the lower class, because people of nobility couldn't be heretics. Like, that was the law. Like, what the fuck? They didn't do that in England. King Henry VIII, which was, you know, one generation before this, they were...
Well, killing everybody. Moral of the story, if you had money, you weren't a heretic.
Yeah. If you had money, God went, you get a pass. So she did have some opponents. Like
One or two.
But, like, the main one that'll come to play again in a minute was a man named Anne Montmorency. Yep. But his name was Anne. So she's just got bad luck. with Anne's.
I mean, there's a dude that came out of the woodwork named Anne just to fuck
her
over.
He had been a royal advisor since like before Henry was born, but he just had nothing to do with the story up until this point. And he thought that Diane had too much power, and he wanted to replace her with a less powerful, like a mistress that wasn't so political minded. Because most mistresses were totally fine just to have lots of jewels and houses. But Diane kept getting involved in shit. So anyway, we'll come back to that. In the meantime.
Enough sad shit.
Let's talk about castles.
Right? Henry, in 1555, gave her the Chateau de Chaumonceau.
In our Kathy episode, we called it the Love Shack.
Love Shack. Baby Love Shack. This place is gorgeous.
It is, y'all. No, seriously, Google it. It is so beautiful. And it was so different looking from the time that she was given it. And then, like, after she did her renovations. So it's on the river, which I think has to do with why Henry gave it to her. Because she loved to go swimming every morning.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So beautiful.
Architecture for her was huge. A lot of her stuff, a lot of the palaces she was in, it was all about the architecture. And
well, something also really interesting that her and Henry changed before Francis's reign was all about like trying to copy. Frank had Leonardo da Vinci come and die in France because he was so hard up on, Italy's got all the forward thinkers, all the forward artists, all the forward architects and stuff like that.
It's the Renaissance.
Yeah.
So.
And Henry and Diane were like, they were like, make France great again. And so they would only hire French architects. And I mean, I got to say, they did some beautiful work.
Oh, no. They did.
But Kathy was crushed. I read that whenever Catherine became pregnant with her third child, I think it was, she asked the king for, like, I guess my push present. Do you know what that is? Like, mm-mm. Push present now is obviously was not a term in the 1500s, but now it's like, for pushing that baby out, I'm going to buy you a present. So basically, she was like, after this baby's born, I'd really like the love shack.
I don't have babies, so.
Yeah.
I don't understand these things. They do not compare.
Whenever he gave it to Diane instead, she felt like, what a fucking slap in the face.
Yeah, bitch.
I don't think Diane asked for it specifically. I just think he had always planned to give it to her anyway. Kathy was pissed
as shit.
Yeah. Sucks to be Kathy. Oh. Sucks to be Kathy.
Yeah. She wasn't the prettiest gal.
Yeah.
She had Diane always, like, breathing down her neck, so being the pretty one.
They go on. God, she was his mistress for so long, and I really do think they love each other.
But she really, at this point, wasn't into sex as much anymore.
I mean, after a while, I mean, she's in her 50s.
She's in her 50s.
She's in her 50s, and he's in his 30s. So, I mean, she couldn't really keep up with all the sex that he wanted all the time.
This even gets worse because later on, she has a horse riding accident where she fucking breaks her leg.
In 1751, like a clean break of her leg.
Ugh.
And so she goes back to Annette, which is, I'm just going to say because I don't feel like trying to say it French. She goes back to Annette to recover, but she doesn't stay there long because she gets word that Henry is having another affair
with Lady Flamingo. No, her name is Lady Fleming.
So there's this lady, Janet Stewart, comma Lady Fleming, she was from Scotland, and she came to France as Mary Queen of Scots governess. Lady Fleming was supposedly really hot too, but not in like the distinguished way that Aunt Diane was hot, more in like a busty redhead, like
the opposite of the nine laws of the eight laws.
Yeah, but she was still like super fucking hot, and Anne just pushed her in front of the king, thinking, okay, this woman is hot and would make a better mistress because she's not interested in politics. She just wants to have sex and babies and jewels and castles. I mean, it worked. Because Henry got her pregnant. And so Diane comes hobbling back to court. Her leg is not fixed.
And she chews Henry the fuck out.
Like, I cannot believe you'd do this to me. I can't believe you'd be so reckless to get her pregnant.
And guess who loves every minute of this?
Catherine!
She's like, yes, queen.
But also something about Lady Fleming. I don't think she really ever had a chance of becoming the royal mistress. Like, even if Diane wasn't there, I don't think she would have ever had a chance because Henry was so embarrassed about how indiscreet she was. Like,
yeah, she would walk into the room and be like, hey, did you hear? I fucked the king.
Yeah.
Hey, I saw his pee-pee.
Yeah, hey, like, hey. Whereas Diane kept her business to her fucking self.
Yeah, she was blabbing her mouth.
Well, Diane didn't need to go blab in her mouth. Everybody that looked at them together could tell that they were in love.
Yeah.
You know? But Lady Fleming was just sort of like, walk into the room and be like, I just had sex with the fucking king. No, if you've never seen the video, I've Just Had Sex by Lonely Island featuring Akon, go look it up right now so that that reference is funny to you. But anyway so Scottish bitch is pregnant. Diane's like, she's got to go.
Yeah.
And Catherine, who before she found out she was pregnant, just thought that Diane was pissed because, haha, he's sleeping with someone else.
No.
Catherine finds out she's pregnant and goes, she's got to go. And King Henry is like, well, can we wait until she at least has the baby? And they in unison say,
negative.
No, gotta go. So he sends her pregnant ass back to Scotland.
And Diane lost her shit.
Yeah, it was a huge strain on their relationship. Funny story, Lady Fleming gets over there, has her baby. She has a son that she names Henry. And like right after her baby was born, she tries to go back to France. But the Dowager Queen of Scotland, Mary Queen of Scots' mom, was like, no, you have embarrassed us enough. You're not
wow.
going back. And wouldn't let, she didn't get to go back until after the Dowager Queen was dead. Yeah.
My butt burns.
I know, right? They recover. Their relationship does recover. Take some time. He does end up getting some other random bitch pregnant. Some rando chick. But you know what? Compared to a lot of French kings only having...
Oh, they were players.
Like, yeah, compared
French
to a lot of them.
Players.
I really do think for the most of his life he was faithful for Diane. Well, I guess you could... Not faithful because he was fucking Catherine, but only because he had to and because she made him.
Yeah,
but,
she made him.
Yeah.
Like, she was fully aware.
He's a grown-ass man. He's making his own decisions, but I feel like for the most part he was pretty faithful to Diane.
Yeah, he had some fling with a girl named Nicole.
Yeah.
They had a baby. He lost interest, sent her away.
And then things go on, things get back to normal. And Diane is basically de facto co-ruler again. And everything's cool. As we mentioned, Spain and France had been fighting. As a truce to the end of their war, he has his daughter get engaged to a Spanish prince.
Yes.
And so that's a peace agreement. So there's this huge celebration for the peace agreement.
Huge.
Anyway.
We went jousting while we were jousting.
It was a beautiful jousting.
It was fabulous. But unfortunately...
Jouster in the eye.
Henry got jousted in the eye.
Yeah. Yep. He got a lance.
What's so cute is like he was wearing black and white.
Oh, he wore... He wore Diane's favors jousting, which that was a thing that like knights would do when they jousted.
We discussed that before.
Yeah. But in case you didn't listen to any other episode and you're like, what are favors? What does that mean? It's kind of like...
handkerchief.
Like, here's my handkerchief and it's supposed to be like the lady that you love to bring you luck. And so he... wore Catherine's favors around his jouster.
But got jousted in the fucking eye.
It didn't work out so well. And a lance went straight through his helmet into his eye and a splinter went into his brain.
So he was fucked.
Took him 10 days to die.
He lived 10 days.
10 days.
And from what I read, it was like agonizing.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like horrible.
They didn't have, we talked about this in the Kathy episode, they didn't have morphine. They didn't have the old morphine drip. But no, whenever it happened, Kathy, Diane, and what's her name? Mary, Queen of Scots, were all in attendance. Like, they all were, like, sitting right next to each other when it happened.
And what's so sad
and
is,
so
like,
I'm sure it was like,
every single one of those 10 days,
he called
for
her.
He was calling out for Diane because that was his love, and Catherine was having nothing of it.
She was like, no way, Jose.
Sorry.
She's like, I'm sorry. He's not making any sense. He's delirious.
Who?
I'm sorry.
Who? What?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Oh, it's so sad.
So on July 10th, 1559, Henry dies.
It's the love of Diane's life dies gone. At age 40.
So Diane, obviously as the headmistress, is forced swiftly to get the fuck out.
Go ahead and get gone.
GTFO.
Now. She had to go ahead and get gone, and Kathy was like, oh, and you need to give me the love shack immediately. The Chateau Chenonceau. And, oh, and all the crown jewels while you're at it. But she was like, but in return, Diane, you can have the Chateau de Chaumont, which was up until this point, because Kathy was real into, like, mystics. Mm-hmm. So she would always have astrologers and psychics and stuff like that around.
How was that not, like, against
because she was the Bible? Queen. Because she was queen, so they just turned around.
Anyway.
Up until that point, that's where she had had all her mystics hang out.
And Diane's like,
so
nah.
Diane was there for, like, roughly 2 days when she went, nah, I'm not staying here.
I'm good. This place is creepy. She just returned to Anae and just lived out the rest of her life. So.
Do you think she missed court?
I don't think she did. I think at this point, she's older. She's made her influence. She's done. Done. Mm-hmm. And she's just ready to live out the rest of her life.
And comfortably, because she's still rich as shit.
Maybe, a couple
like
of times.
Like the influence.
Like the influence and being able to talk to so-and-so and getting together with so-and-so. And like, yeah, she may have missed a little bit of it, but I don't think she missed all of it.
So I think she definitely missed the royal children, but I don't think that she would have ever, if she hadn't fallen in love with Henry, I don't think she would have been, like, a lifetime courtier like she was. She definitely had the brains for it, but like you said, she hated gossip. Yeah. I think she missed the people, the children, but I think she was happy to retire.
And she lived a pretty low-key life.
Yeah.
After Henry died, it was just like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, she kept up with her riding and hunting and swimming well into her late 50s, early 60s.
Really, just not a lot is known after her.
Yeah.
Her life at Anae.
Yeah. In 1764, she fell from her horse and, like, really hurt herself.
How badass. Like,
she's still riding the horse when she's 64?
Yeah.
Like she's just like.
How badass is that?
That's amazing. But she never really recovered, which, I mean, age 64 in the 1700s, that is a long life.
Yeah, and 2 years later, she died at 66. And when they actually remodeled Anae, they built a funeral chapel where she was entombed. And
Kathy got to be buried next to Henry, but whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Bitch.
During the French Revolution, the revolters, they were going and just, like, emptying out the tombs and the funeral homes of, like, the rich people because they were, like, you know, down with the aristocracy or whatever. And so her body was untombed and thrown into a mass grave.
Hashtag rude.
Very rude. Disrespectful. Rude. In 2009, however, researchers were able to identify her body from the place where she had broken her leg before.
Yes. Yeah. And they studied her remains and they found lots of gold.
They were like, yeah. They were able to determine that she had been drinking liquid gold.
So back in the day, because you're bougie and you're in the Renaissance, you thought, oh my god, I'm going to drink this expensive ass fucking metal.
Well, they're like, gold is pretty. I want to be pretty.
Therefore, I shall
ingest
gold.
What could possibly go wrong?
Your immune system would be compromised. Second off, you would be drowsy and miserable and feeling weak as fuck. Third off, it can kill you. And it killed her. I don't know.
Well,
I believe it.
Okay. So I guess I would need more information.
She just drank gold.
She just drank gold.
And that's wrong. Like, so, you dead.
So, I don't know. She was beautiful into her 50s, so I might start drinking gold. I don't know.
They excavated her bones and found that she had like 500 times the amount of gold that you should have in your body.
How much gold does a person usually?
but
well, the way you said it, 500 times of gold than the normal person, that makes me think, does somebody have some gold?
They do. You do. You have a little, but
anyway, so let's talk about her legacy.
Yeah, her legacy.
We could talk about the gold for 10 hours, so let's just talk.
I love gold.
I love gold.
Okay,
so there are basically two schools of thinking regarding her legacy.
Numero uno.
Mm-hmm.
She was either this power-hungry fucking cougar who manipulated the king because he had mommy issues.
Or She was like this really smart woman who wanted to be with the man she loved, who just happened to be king. Yeah. Because, you know, in history, you can't just be like a regular woman. You've either got to be like deceptive and power hungry or whatever.
She's a witch.
I think it's some kind of mixture of the two.
I think she was fucking fabulous.
Oh, no. She was definitely fucking fabulous.
Black and white.
So, cheers to Diane.
Diane, love you, girl. Thanks for listening. If there's something you want to hear, hit us up.
Email us at queenshistorypodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Twitter, queens_podcast.
Obviously, we're on Apple Podcasts at Queens Podcast. Hey, while you're there, leave us a review if you have time, please.
Follow us.
Facebook at Queens Podcast. You can leave us a review on Facebook now if you want.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Kissy, kissy.
Love you.
Have you ever wished that you had a direct line to your pediatrician to ask all the questions that constantly crop up while parenting? We sure have. That's why we launched the Bites of Health podcast. Every morning, we'll answer a commonly asked pediatric question in 5 minutes or less. You can tune in while you're making your second cup of coffee or from the school drop-off line. So be sure to tune in to Bites of Health, streaming now.